Our reading for today is from the Gospel of St. Luke, the 12th chapter, verses 54 through the 13th chapter, verse 17. He also said to the crowds, "When you see a cloud rising in the west, you say at once, 'A shower is coming,' and so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, 'There will be a scorching heat,' and it happens. You hypocrites! You know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time? And why do you not judge for yourselves what is right? As you go with your accuser before the magistrate, make an effort to settle with him on the way, lest he drag you to the judge, and the judge hand you over to the officer, and the officer put you in prison. I tell you, you will never get out until you have paid the very last penny." There were some present at that very time who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And he answered, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered in this way? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or those 18 on whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others who lived in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." And he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. And he said to the vine dresser, "Look, for 3 years now I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why should it use up the ground?" And he answered him, "Sir, let it alone this year also, until I dig around it and put on manure. Then if it should bear fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And there was a woman who had a disabling spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not fully straighten herself. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said to her, "Woman, you are freed from your disability." And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight, and she glorified God. But the ruler of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, said to the people, "There are 6 days in which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day." Then the Lord answered him, "You hypocrites! Does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to water it? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day?" As he said these things, all his adversaries were put to shame, and all the people rejoiced at all the glorious things that were done by him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. For today's meditation on God's word, we welcome Pastor David Mumm, Concordia Lutheran Church, McKesney Park, Illinois.
I like the old adage, the difficult we do immediately, the impossible takes 5 minutes longer. To consider 5 incidents from the life of Jesus in a 5-minute devotion may border on the impossible, but seeking the guidance of the Holy Spirit, let's take a stab at it. Our text begins with Jesus using an illustration from nature. Storm clouds rise, you look at it, you know it's a storm coming. Wind blows and it's hot, you know it's going to get a dry, you're going to have dry heat. Not rocket science. But what's Jesus doing by this? He is addressing the comments to Pharisees, churchmen who had made up their minds already. Jesus was the problem in their mind, not the solution. Nothing and no one would allow them to believe that they were in any way wrong. They were not going to be confused with the facts. Second technique Jesus uses in this conversation or in this text is he creates a real-life potential situation. If you've wronged another person, or even if they merely perceive you to have wronged them, why not go and resolve the issue? After all, you don't want it to blow up and get out of hand and maybe even end up in the courts. In effect, he's asking, wouldn't it be a good idea if you guys stepped back and took a broader look at the picture? If you really assessed the situation, you'd realize it's your actions that could very well backfire against you. So rather than taking a wait and see, or worse yet, a deny you bear any guilt, how about facing the facts, confess your sins, and seek forgiveness? It's a question of eternal consequence. If I wait and figure I can later repent, what will happen if later instantly becomes mine? The third part of this text, verses 1 through 5, builds this theme of repentance yet again. Direct conversation, analogy have not worked. Now Jesus takes to his favorite method of teaching, interrogation, questioning. He approaches them with the question, are some sins and therefore some sinners worse than others? Pharisees were good at condemning what they wanted to condemn, but seeing their own sin, that was a different story. The answer to the question of greater or lesser sin is sin. And unless repentance occurs, there can be no forgiveness. The fourth technique, also a favorite of Jesus, is a little parable, an illustration, a fig tree which is 3 years old and bearing no fruit. Pharisees would have said, cut it down. That was their rule. Expel the sinner after he's committed a certain sin 3 times. But no, in this parable, there's good news. The vine dresser will go out of his way, work extra hard, do everything possible to help that tree along, giving it more than ample opportunity to bear fruit. The last tool used by Jesus in this discussion is the most direct. He heals a woman on the Sabbath. The Pharisees, who have been doing a great job of not listening, jump all over him for such an action. Jesus responds, in effect, saying to them, get your heads out of the sand, guys. You would do the same thing. As a matter of fact, you do. Without faith, Pharisees were working against him, but they could spout off and say what they wanted, but being able to carry out the acts of God couldn't be accomplished unless they turned their hearts turned to him. The power of God to assist with trials in life rests with Jesus. The proof that day lay not in the questions, analogies, or other techniques, but in the action of Jesus. In love for the woman with a disability, he provides healing. In love for us, he provides the hope and the future we need. He calls to us through these little lessons to come to him, to repent, to turn to him, to trust in him, to receive from him forgiveness, life, and salvation, his gifts to us every day. Amen.
We thank Pastor David Mumm from Concordia Lutheran Church for today's meditation on God's Word.